are listening to Clear Mind Events Podcast. Can you believe we are on episode 4?
No, it's pretty amazing.
I don't even know if I can count that high.
True story.
I mean, I got a Jefferson County education, so.
So then I'll say that counting sheep was not your choice of trial.
Oh, we totally did not talk about counting sheep at all on the insomnia episode. That is like the biggest load of crap ever, or at least it was for me having anxiety. I could not count sheep and go to sleep. So we're on episode 4, which is 3-4, Depression is Knocking at Your Door. What a fabulous way to kick off episode 4, right, guys?
Yeah, it's kind of depressing.
I know.
See what I did there?
I really wanted to start off with a definition because I really like how Tara, you defined insomnia before we dove in. So depression, they consider that a major depressive order or clinical depression. And what I did not realize is there are now like all these little branches. Like there used to be this concept of depression was, and like when I mentioned to Eric, I'm like, hey, we're going to do the depression episode next. And he sends me the little gif of Eeyore. Like Eeyore's definitely the poster child for depression. But the thing about depression is it causes severe symptoms. And it's so severe that it does affect, you know, the way you feel, the way you think, how you handle daily activities, such as sleeping, eating, or working. One thing that kind of caught me off guard, it said to be diagnosed with depression, your symptoms need to be present for at least 2 weeks, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I don't know about you, Eric and Tara, but I just remember as a kid, when they first started talking about depression, they made it sound like it was this person who just could not get out of bed, and they would sleep for days upon days, zero interest in everything. But it was this very extreme depiction of what depression was. And so if you were tired and not feeling well, or you had something that you had experienced, like the loss of a family member, you know, people didn't say, no, I feel like I'm kind of getting depressed. Or if someone said, you know, hey, you may be depressed. You've been through a lot in the past year. And I mean, people would take offense to it. I mean, it was a huge insult. You know, it's like, no, I've just been really tired. So it was kind of interesting that now they say, you know, hey, if certain symptoms have persisted for 2 weeks or more, then they will look at diagnosing you. So here's where we branch out. They now have something called persistent depressive disorder, also called dysthymia. And I'm probably saying that wrong. But this is the depressed mood that lasts for, and they say at least 2 years. So we've got 2 weeks, 2 years. Mm. But, you know, it's just a persistent depressive disorder. And we'll talk about the symptoms and characteristics. But I mean, it's a major depressive episode. And during that time frame, you can have periods of less severe symptoms along the way. There's also something that we now know as postpartum depression, which can happen for women who have recently given birth. You know, they used to call it the baby blues is what they called it. But you have the postpartum depression, usually within about 2 weeks after delivery. They don't quite bond with the child, and they don't, I hate to say bounce back, if that makes sense. They don't quite bounce back after the pregnancy is what you'll hear people say. There is now a psychotic depression that caught me off guard, but someone with severe depression plus some psychosis. And the examples that they gave was feelings of delusions, hallucinations, voices talking to you, seasonal affective disorder, which a lot of people know as the winter depression. So when In the wintertime, we have less sunlight, and so you're getting less vitamin D. You have people who experience depression during the winter months when there's less natural sunlight. And then there's also bipolar disorder. And bipolar disorder, different from depression, but it's, you have like this roller coaster going on. So you have these really high highs, then you have these really, really low lows. And those low lows are the depression. And I remember it used to be called manic depressive because, you know, when you were really hyper and feeling really good and you just wanted to go, go, go and do everything, that was that manic part. And then when you would crash from it, that was the that was the depression part. I can't talk
My step aunt has manic depression. In like a very, very strong way. Like one time she was at Target and she decided there were these animals that they were like little stuffed animals for a donation type situation. She ended up buying like $3,000 worth.
Holy cow.
And they gave her like the biggest, like, wow, this one was amazing. But like, it was so one of those episodes. You know what I mean? Like, who does that? And then she ended up with all these animals. But eventually, I mean, they were just like little stuffed animals. But anyway, it was just interesting how that's just an example.
It makes sense because you will have people who shopping gives you those feel goods, gives you that serotonin. And I would imagine that, you know, if you're purchasing stuffed animals for a good cause, there's that feel good because you're doing something for other people.
Right.
So I could see that. Something else that I thought was interesting was they also, I remember it used to be, I think it was just called PMD, but just like really severe, severe PMS. Apparently now that is rolling up under the Eeyore umbrella of depression. And it's now called premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And then they especially mention that for children and adolescents, that they can experience dysregulation disorder. Lots of information. I was not aware that it branched out as much as it does, but I think we've definitely learned, we've come a long way when it comes to mental health. Almost said mental issues, but mental disorders. So signs and symptoms. And again, they said, you know, these should be like, hey, I have these symptoms most of the day and it's nearly every day and it's for at least 2 weeks. But persistent, sad, anxious, or empty mood, feelings of hopelessness or pessimism, I can't talk, irritability, that's me every morning without coffee, let's be honest, feelings of guilt, worthlessness, or helplessness. It's like there's a reason that Starbucks is a billion-dollar company. So loss of interest or pleasure in hobbies and activities. Decreased energy or fatigue. Moving or talking more slowly. That one surprised me. Especially the talking more slowly. But
that fits Eeyore to a T.
It does, doesn't it? He always talks so slow. No worries.
Stabbed Eeyore. Like, seriously. Like, that's what people call him. Now that's being way too specific, but yeah. There's no way to not know who that is, but yeah.
This was interesting. I'm feeling restless or having trouble sitting still. I never equated that with depression. I always thought that was more of a hyperactive disorder, one of your attention deficit disorders. Or anxiety. And then also difficulty concentrating. I would kind of put that in with anxiety or ADD or ADHD. But you also have trouble remembering things, brain fog, or making decisions. And of course, my favorite, difficulty sleeping, early morning awakening, or oversleeping. We talked about insomnia on our last episode. So depression can cause or trigger insomnia, appetite and or weight changes, thoughts of death or suicide attempts, Aches or pains, headaches, cramps, digestive problems without a clear physical cause and or that do not ease even with treatment, which I thought was interesting. And I love how they emphasize that not everyone who is depressed experiences every single symptom. So, and again, we are not doctors. I feel like that's going to be that's our hashtag. Hashtag we are not doctors, right? But I did not realize that mental challenges could manifest physically until I learned mine, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, it does.
But yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I've definitely had depression spells, which I kind of could be going through one right now, having just turned 40. I'm not sure what all that's about, but I've had to sleep like a lot the last week, like every day without a sleep aid of any kind, 10 to 12 hours.
Well, I was going to say, like, what's the weather like right now? Has it been really cloudy up there?
The weather here? I've got 7 feet of snow outside my window.
But is there sun to go with the snow?
Somewhat, but not a lot. Like when there were a couple days where it was, and then it was like everything was looking good. The streets were even looking drier, and everything was like, oh my god, we can drive like normal again. And then we got 2 more feet, so it's just constant. And I do know that the weather has probably a huge attribution to this for me, because of the fact that like generally on my birthday, mind you, I would usually go to like Vegas where it's warm. You know, get out of the environment and just enjoy that, because like vitamin D is very important to me. I've almost gone tanning again, but of course tanning is not available yet because of pandemic. So it's like, what do? You know? So, I mean, I look out my window and all I see is snow built up to 7 feet. So yeah, I would say that definitely has something to play into it.
When you describe that, I totally picture The Shining. Oh, that's
I don't have any twin girls. So.
I was gonna say if you see twin girls in your hallway one day, I'm gonna need you to run the other way.
Okay, that happened once at a different hotel I stayed at in San Francisco.
Come play with us, Tara.
Oh god.
The hotel was over 100 years old, and I swear it was the Shiny Hotel in San Francisco. It's beautiful though, but yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It definitely plays a huge factor into it. And I know I am definitely not the only person around here who feels this way. We're all so over this snow. You guys are about to get spring. We won't. We'll get mud season where everything melts and then it's mud.
Interesting.
So it's really not.
To a good old country boy with a big truck, that could be fun season.
Yeah, I know.
There's a ton of those around here, trust me. I don't know. I miss seasons. I'm from Boise, Idaho, which is just a couple hours south. But we have seasons there. Spring and fall exist. Here it's like winter, 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 summer.
Mud.
Then pre-winter. And then winter.
I mean, I'm very much interested in this mud. I mean, have I mentioned that I have a Jeep Wrangler that I have yet to take mudding?
Yeah, come out here, because there's a snow melting sister. But
I mean, she's got a little dirty, but not a good old fashioned Kentucky girl mudding. Not mudding, mudding.
Mud.
Right.
Mudding.
M-U-D-D apostrophe N.
There you go.
But yeah.
I love it. Totally forgot what I was going to say next. What else is new? Oh, look, brain frog. I think we need a depression bingo.
A brain frog or a brain fog? You said
brain frog.
Fog. Okay.
I think I heard frog, but we'll
frog
go.
Frog or fraud. We need depression bingo here. Love how you mentioned that, you know, you would go to the tanning bed to kind of supplement the lack of the natural light. That is one of those, it's one of those unofficial things that is recommended. I have had a doctor recommend that. They said no more than 10 minutes a day in the human microwave. But I must say, the human microwave does help me feel better. And I do tend to partake more in the wintertime because it helps. I know when I would teach night classes, from 4 p.m. to 12 or 1 in the morning, I would get so cranky and irritable, and I was just pissed off about everything. And I mean, I would be awake half the day before I ate anything, and I just cried at the drop of a hat. I mean, by the time I got finished with a 6-week training class, I could not wait to go back on days. And I have to say, I think the most I ever did was like 4 night classes in a row. And I had to come to Jesus with my boss, and I said, look, I need a day shift class, or I'm going to go somewhere else. I cannot do this anymore. Had we not got rid of customer service, because their weird logic was, well, you know, the classes need to be at night because that's the shift they're going to be working, and it's going to be easier on them. Which every other place that I've worked, you know, your training was during the day. Like even in factories, your training was during the day, and then you went to night shift. But I mean, I was to the point I was going to quit because like my mental health could not handle it.
Spend most of your time at night, you know. I mean, you don't have, like you're saying, you don't have the sunshine, you don't have the brightness to, mm-hmm. I guess, lighten your mood.
Oh, I agree. I was so hateful. It was bad. I started working out. And so I would go work out at the end of my night. And then I would hit the human microwave. Sunlight does help.
Yeah, I wonder how I did it for so many years because I was a bartender. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if you guys know the movie Cocktail with Tom.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But there is this one scene where he's talking about how you've got your day gig, but then you work the night gig, which is bartending, to like supplement the day gig. And then before you know it, like, and then the night gig becomes more than the day gig. And then before you know it, you have 2 comatose hours of daylight, and the rest of your life is just a night. I'll tell you, I drank a lot for sure during that time, because that's what you do when your work is between 4 and 2 a.m. Like, that's just what you do. So it's just kind of interesting because I went many years with barely seeing any daylight.
I wonder if the human interaction worked, because typically the bartender, I'm sorry, but the bartender is the most important person at a bar.
Yes, we are.
So. Yes, I'll agree with you there.
Because now I, so We have this little bitty dive bar. We were actually talking about this today, but this little hole in the wall dive bar, like so many people were so terrified of it. It was called the Maverick, and it was in Richmond, Kentucky. And I remember getting a job there because I needed something that was about 25-ish hours a week to supplement my income while going to college. And, you know, it worked around my school schedule. And I mean, we were terrified of this place. The first night that we went there, we were like, okay, nobody goes out in the parking lot by themselves, and nobody goes to the bathroom by themselves. Like, no woman left behind here. Okay, guys, the bathroom was so small that if there were more than 3 people in there, and that's counting 2 in the stalls, like sometimes you had to go out of the bathroom to let the person out of the stall so that you could go to the stall. I mean, these bathrooms were so tiny, so there was no fear of anything going down in the bathrooms. But you know, there was this huge urban legend, I'll say, that there was somebody that like got shot dead in the parking lot, and I have no proof of this. I've never been able to find it, but the Maverick was pretty infamous. But I used to work there, and I loved it very much. So I wonder, Tara, if the interaction with everybody, all the feel goods from having a good time and pouring everybody's drinks and socializing and getting to know each other, helped a little, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. I will say, in the end, I kind of got tired of hearing the same stories over and over again. it was like living in Groundhog Day. So, but you know, I did it for like 20 years. Like really, like I started at like 21. I guess it wasn't a full on 20 years, but I did start working in bars at 21. And I just quit like totally working in bars at 38. So, yeah, we were talking like a long time that I did that kind of work. But it was just kind of interesting because you don't see the sun. But I would say I definitely tanned a lot more in my 20s and whatnot when I was working in bars. Tan looks better. You know, it was just like one of those things.
I could blind you. I could blind you with my legs. Like if there was a power outage in Kentucky, the white reflecting off of my legs would probably help power the grid for at least a month.
Sad thing, she's not lying.
Oh my goodness. So usually I take a cruise called Shiprocked, and it usually happens in January. And so that kind of like gets me through the winter because, you know, you're down there for at least a week. So you get lots of sun and that kind of like, you know, that helps me out for a little bit.
Get to your fix.
I am definitely missing the beach and the sun. And I have to say, how fucking depressing is it that here in about, what, 2 weeks, we will have been in this pandemic for a year?
Yeah, the day anniversary is 311 day. And the reason I remember that is because my friends were in Vegas going to see 311, and I actually like got online and did like the live stream and stuff. And that was it. It was 311 day.
But it hit me. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I have went almost a year without live music.
I went over a year. Yeah, it kills me. The last time I went to a show was the Whiskey A Go-Go, and I rung in the new decade at the Whiskey A Go-Go. LA Guns were on stage. We went to the Rainbow for dinner. It was like the most amazing rock and roll New Year's Eve you could ever have. And then that was it. Yeah, it's really hard, especially when it's part of your life.
Yeah, that shut down, you know, working with the radio station. You know, I was the sales and marketing guy for a local rock streaming station, and I had all kinds of stuff lined up. I had bars that were ready to jump on board that had a long calendar of live music, and then all of that shut down, and that wiped out all of my extra money that was supposed to be coming in. I made one sale, you know, when the pandemic hit, we all decided we're not going to ask the businesses to send us money unless they can. That way they can still afford to pay their employees and everything like right. that. I mean, we're talking that took $700-$800 a month out of my pocket, you know, and it's just live music is my thing. That's my drug, and I'm not getting my fix. And it's taking its toll just like everybody else is.
It's really, it is so hard. I mean, last year I had probably about 4 or 5 different shows that were planned outside of the state. I had plane tickets. You know, everything was like, I was in it for thousands, right? In the very beginning of the year, just, this is what I'm going to do. And then everything got shut down little by little. I was like, I'm going to go see Rage. And that didn't happen. That was my first that went down quickly. It was Rage in April. And then it just happened like more and more. And we were so hopeful. Okay, maybe in July we can do this. Maybe in September we can do this. And now it's like, when can we ever do this again? Because even though we're making plans now, doesn't a little bit of you feel like this might not happen?
Certain ones in certain places, yes.
I'm holding out for fall. They're pushing the vaccine pretty hard.
Yeah, I've got something in May, but guys, I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I wish they would hurry up and like figure it out.
Right.
It's in Vegas. It's Scorpions in Vegas. And, I haven't heard anything yet. So as long as I don't hear anything, I guess it's happening. But like, I don't know. It's kind of hard too when they cancel shit like right before.
Yeah.
Is this not happening?
It just makes me wonder how many people are encountering depression for the first time because we have been so clammed up and shut down. Check on your music lovers because we are not okay.
It's true.
Yeah. That is very true.
We, my father, for his second marriage, he got married in Vegas. He joked that he would never get married again. And if he did get married again, he would go through a, Vegas drive-through.
I was just going to ask, please tell me a drive-through wedding.
Well, my wonderful stepmother said, no, you can't have a drive-through. However, we can get married in Vegas. It was wonderful. But so we were down on Fremont Street, and I can't remember if this was the same day of the wedding. I can't remember anyway. But I actually got mauled by a Chippendale dancer on Fremont Street in Vegas.
Oh.
Yes, you. I'm sure you did.
So I had on this like cream colored fake furry jacket, and it was kind of like a bomber style cut because it only came down to the waist. And so I'm walking down Fremont Street and I hear someone yell something. I don't even know what it was. I just heard someone yell something. I don't think it applies to me. So I'm going about my merry way. And next thing I know, someone grabs a hold of me and they are just, they've got their arms around me and they're rubbing their arms all up and down my body and saying, "Ooh, it's so fuzzy." And I go to throw an elbow. And he must be used to that reaction because he caught my elbow. He checked. And so then he introduces himself. I turn around and this guy is like at least 6'2", no shirt. He had on the white collar with the bow tie and had on the black pant. Tells me he's a Chippendale. And he's like, "You know, you should come over here and get your picture took with me." And I said, "Oh, well, how much is it for the picture? Like, what do you get?" You know, and he's like, "Well, you know, you get the picture and we sign it." And I said, "Well, look what I just got for free." So I got mauled by Chippendale on Fremont Street.
Fremont's just a hell of a time. You'll always find different characters on Fremont.
I had more fun on Fremont Street than I did actually on the strip in Vegas. There's more stuff to do and better stuff to see on Fremont Street. But if you want like shopping and all that stuff, that's why I write, you know, the strip is where you go because you got all the shops at Paris. You got all the shops at Bellagio, Caesar's Palace, you know, places like that. Planet Hollywood's got the mall right next to it where you got the Miracle Mile.
I just say fashion show mall, dude. Do it. Go straight to the fashion show mall and you have at least 100 stores to choose from.
Well, you know, I couldn't afford anything in Bellagio or Paris, but sometimes that made me feel fancy walking into you know, all the big, where even the items on their discount rack are still $4,000.
My friends who live there are straight up, like, they don't go near any of that. They're stagehands, though. So they do go near that for work. But other than that.
My youngest daughter had a dance competition. And me, my mom and dad, we flew out there for it. So we, you know, the hotel they were having their competition at was like a 20-minute drive north of the strip. It took us about a half an hour once we got out of the strip and everything like that and got on the freeway. It was about 20 minutes to get up to the hotel. I mean, that's why we went down there for a week. So did the Hard Rock Hotel, did that close down?
No, it's still there. Actually where I've got tickets for. No, that's Planet Hollywood. Sorry. The Hard Rock didn't close down, though, did it?
Okay. I've seen some things posted that the Hard Rock is closed down. I've seen some things posted that it moved, and it's closer to the strip because it was like a block and a half off the strip.
Hmm.
And you can actually find Chris Cale, the bassist from Five Finger Death Punch, there all the time.
I believe that. Well, they're from there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that totally makes sense. I mean, I do know everything was kind of at a standstill anyway for a long time there. So of those that have survived, maybe Hard Rock didn't because it is, you know, based on live music. Who knows? So, but I mean, that's like where the union people, like the red, like I put that up on, it's on my Rock the Decades, like, because my friends are union people, so red is like actually for like save our stages, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I know that's really strong down there because everybody's kind of out of work. Like that's the thing about Vegas is you go there, you make money in entertainment, and when you don't have entertainment, what are you gonna do? So it's kind of hard.
It's still there. Looking up, I just Googled it. I was curious myself.
Yeah, I don't remember that one closing. I know that the Riviera closed, but not the Hard Rock. That one got bulldozed, I believe, or imploded.
Yeah.
They just imploded Trump Tower in Jersey.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, and I was we need our dirty Vegas, man. Like, we got to get through this pandemic so we can just go and like live in a city of sin for 3 days tops, and then you go home.
I would totally move to Vegas.
Huh?
I would totally move to Vegas.
No way, you'd move there?
When I worked for Sprint, one of their major call centers is there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had considered moving out there.
I almost did. When I was getting out of the military in Hawaii, I put in just randomly for a job as the basically the fleet manager for the limousine service at the MGM hotel.
Ooh.
So I was going to be the one that took care of the maintenance, like, you know, schedule everything. If big wigs mm-hmm. came in, they needed limousines, it went through me. I was responsible for all the drivers and all that stuff. And they actually offered me the position until they found out that I currently did not live in Vegas. And I was like, rude. Well, we kind of needed to start immediately. And, you know, because I was a fleet manager for a police department down there in Hawaii. And, yeah, they were like, we kind of need somebody to start immediately. And we're looking for somebody local that can start. I was like, well, crap, because there goes
rude.
$180,000 a year job.
Wow.
So
that's depressing.
Yes, it is. It was, so, but I'm kind of glad I didn't take it.
Better off, Eric. I would say you're probably better off. I mean, that's just, it's one of those places that like either that town's going to swallow you whole, or you just like get out of the bullshit and only deal with it as far as work's concerned and just, you know, stay away from everything else. But like, that place is, I don't know. I know people who are very happy there, but the people who are happy there stay away from all of it, you know?
Yeah, so, I wouldn't have been able to deal with the dry heat. That would have driven me absolutely bonkers.
Oh my God. Have you ever been there in June before?
Yes.
I went there for Aerosmith a couple of years ago for their residency, and just walking in that heat was just ridiculous. I went, well, have you ever played My Vegas Slots? It's an app.
Yep.
Okay. You know how you like are able to trade in your points for stuff?
Mm-hmm.
So I got a couple free rides on the tram, and where we wanted to go to Vince Neil's place so bad. So, well, I did. Okay. We didn't. I did. She went along, whatever. So anyway, I guess I can't say that she now. But so we were trying, so we got like to our area, and then we're like walking. You know how Vegas is? It's just like one giant mirage where you think you're getting closer and closer and closer to stuff, yes. But you're really not. And it was near Trump Tower, is about like right where we, like, that was our stop, because Circus is where Vince Neil's place is. Mm-hmm. So we're walking and walking and walking, and like an hour later, we're like, are we almost there? It's right there. No, it's not. We got another 20 minutes.
Because everything's flat.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Everything looks like just right there. Oh, we can go. It's right there. No.
Yeah. So we're kind of like, it's on the flip side, because I know for a lot of people who go to live music, you know, after a festival, you kind of get that
post-festival depression.
Yes, post-festival depression. I have to say, after coming back off of Shiprocked, there was always a depression afterward. You're coming down from that high, and you are readjusting to your normal life. So there, yes, very much. And then,
well,
I know
it is not a serious clinically diagnosed condition. I will tell you, it is a real thing.
Oh, it's absolutely real. And I have to say, like, you know, a couple, like a day or two after a live show, I would kind of feel kind of down afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Because it was such a thrill to go, but I would give anything for that post-festival depression now, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's a buildup. Like, you're so excited to go. You're planning everything. You're planning your outfit. You're doing this. You're doing that. And then you go, and it's amazing. It's never as good as we expect it to be. Like, because I think we build up shows a lot in our heads. Like, I've seen so many amazing acts. I've seen AC/DC. I've seen Guns N' Roses. Like, I've seen, like, some seriously, like, top-notch. And it's always awesome, but it's never like this, oh my God, it's going to, you know, like we always build it up to be more than it is. Mm-hmm. And then we have it and it's awesome. And like you said, we're just like, okay, well now what?
Well, and that makes me wonder because, you know, we will experience post-festival depression. So it makes me wonder if musicians encounter a post-tour depression.
I could see that.
When they come off of tour, you know?
Yeah, that would totally make sense. I mean, because again, it's all the build up and then it's over and what now? Like, what's right. The next step? What's the next? Are we recording soon? Are we looking at, you know, like that's one thing that I think 311 kind of has down as far as I mentioned 311 a lot because they just really have their shit together. They tour a lot. Like a lot, and they never stop. Kiss is like that too, you know? Mm-hmm. When they're done with the tour, they're planning a new one. Like they always have that next step planned.
Nice.
So, like some of the newer bands, and I feel really bad for the newer bands that got hit by this pandemic, like that were just getting big and just starting to get into more tours, and then it all got shut down for them, you know?
It's like they have to reset everything and redo everything all over again.
Right.
So I do know that there is evidence that music therapy can reduce depression symptoms, anxiety. So one thing that I had that I wanted to ask everybody was, you know, do you have a depression playlist? And if you do have a depression playlist, my question is it super emo and allows you to get all up in your feels and have a good cry and be pissed off and just let it all out? Or do you have a depression playlist that you play to get yourself out of it? So in other words, it's positive and uplifting and supposed to, like, you know, grab you by your bootstraps and pull you out of it.
Country music.
Yeah.
To pull you up by your bootstraps or to.
No, if I'm doing it for that, it's going to be heavy music.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I have all kinds of playlists. Like
if it's one of my episodes, it's country music.
Gotcha.
So you do have like some go-to songs when you're like, look, I just need to sit in this for a minute and let it all out and then I can move on.
No, not really. I don't really have a playlist, but if I'm feeling down, I'm going to listen to crappy music.
you just said country music. Are you going?
There's a tear.
No, that's a joke. The older country, not this new pop crud trying to
be
nice.
Yeah, is that even country? Like, it's really? Not.
Just because the artist is from the country doesn't make his music or her music country.
Okay. Florida Georgia Line. Bye-bye. Get right, going. Exactly. Seriously. Yeah. Like.
Thank you. I mean, I'm sorry. They're not country. Do they have some banjos? Yes. Do they have an accent? Yes. I have an accent.
Yes. They're not country. I think it was T-Pain, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. In that one song of theirs. Isn't that T-Pain?
Yeah.
Okay. See, that's how much I like them. That one song of theirs.
Korn plays bagpipes. Does that make them a Scottish band?
Absolutely.
Perfect. Perfect. So then, what are some songs that you like to listen to when you feel like Eeyore? And you're like, okay, I'm just going to let myself have this Eeyore moment and then move on.
Fuel Shimmer is a big one for me.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's just it definitely represents a very significant time in my life when I was 18, mm-hmm. and I didn't like I actually moved to Wyoming and like didn't really know what I was doing, you know. So like it's just kind of one of those things that like. In fact, I actually posted something about that today about songs like that. And yeah, Fuel Shimmer is a big one for me. I have a lot of playlists. One thing that I love to listen to when I'm feeling kind of down, like especially like after a good weekend, like with my friends and stuff, where you're just like, okay, now what? Like time to go back to work, blah, blah, blah. I listen to something that I put together called Yoga Baby. And it's like totally a bunch of just easy like listening rock songs like Big Head Todd and the Monsters and Matchbox 20 and Chris Isaak, you know, just stuff to kind of be mellow and kind of let your head take it in, but it's not too heavy. I don't know, it's just something that I've done when it comes to a playlist.
Yeah, I don't have a playlist for that. I just have two songs that I'll listen to. It's Candy Fill My Heart by Bring Me the Horizon.
Oh, and, God, that's so good.
Yeah. And End of Heartache by Killswitch Engaged. Those were the two songs that I turned to when my brother passed away.
Mm.
And finally getting to see both of them live at Epicenter in 2019. Mm. I actually went... I didn't get a chance to get up in the crowd when Bring Me the Horizon played, but when Killswitch Engage played, I went up and I stayed towards the back because this was still earlier in the day. I wanted to be sober enough to make my way over there and remember to hear it. I'd had the chance to see them live several other times. I just couldn't quite bring myself to do it because of the emotional attachment to that song.
Mm-hmm.
But I finally made my way up and got, you know, stayed towards the back. And one of the other ladies from the Mayhem group, Mary, brain fart, what's her last name? You know who I'm talking about, Andy.
Is it Mary, Sparks?
No, Lane.
There Mary you go. Lane. Yep.
She walked over there with me and... It was like the fourth or fifth song into their set. And as soon as I heard that opening guitar riff, it all the feels hit me right away. And I literally had a breakdown. And I was scrolling through YouTube and I got onto Killswitch's live page. And somebody was actually standing literally 5 feet behind me, videoing that song, and you can see me standing there and you could tell it's getting to me, and then all of a sudden I disappear from the video, and that's when I literally fell to my knees and I started crying right in the middle of like 20,000 people, you know, and people were checking on me and coming over and pat me on the shoulder and stuff like that, you know, and the couple next to me when the song was over and I got up. You know, they came over, they gave me a big old hug. I told him, you know, why this happened, what was going on. And he pulled out a, not exactly a cigarette and handed it to me and said, here, I think you need this a little more than I do right now.
I want to say Mary has a tattoo of the lyrics from Broken. I'm Broken too.
I think so.
I think she does.
So when you say the Mayhem group, do you mean like the previous Mayhem tours that used to happen? Because I went to a bunch of those. Rockstar Mayhems.
So that was their camp name. A lot of people that would camp at festivals, they kind of come up with a camper name for their group. Oh,
gotcha.
And so their group was Camp Mayhem.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It was a very big deal for me to see Disturbed at Louder Than Life because I had never seen them before. They had came out with the song The Light. Mm-hmm. And they launched that single shortly after my stepfather passed away. And I very much associated that song with him. And I had told my friend, I had said, you know, so they're probably going to play the light. And I said, I just want you to know that I'll probably come unglued. And I don't want you to worry. No, I don't want to talk about it, but, you know, I'll be okay. And so I did kind of have that moment where, you know, people were checking on me and stuff after they sang the song, because I absolutely bawled like a baby, just gave me all the feels.
Yeah, that's actually one of the last bands I ever traveled for was Disturbed. I went to Salt Lake. I had never seen them. And I love them. Like, actually, my first car, when I had to put in time with my mom, I had that album. And I remember when Shout came on, and I was like, oh, this is badass, because I loved Tears for Fears Shout.
Yeah.
And I was like, pay attention to the road. And I'm like, what? She's like, this is why you shouldn't have a radio in your car. I'm like, I'll turn it
off. Oh, my gosh.
I got this, you know?
Blasphemy.
I know. No radio in your car.
The radio makes you drive better.
It does. It really, truly does.
I.e., it makes you drive faster.
If you're pissed off, put on Walk by Pantera. Bam. Straight up. Ooh, or Bad Habit by Offspring.
Nice.
Even though it indicates, like, there is no gun in my, I don't have a gun in my glove compartment or anything like that.
Well, that's a relief.
It really upsets me. Like, well, it, like, makes me, like, a better driver. Because, like, my road rage is, like, channeled into a song more than the
people. Well, I have to admit that I do have an emo playlist. So depressed and crying and stuff like that, I really struggle with owning that. And so I call it being emo. And so when I'm all up in my feels for whatever reason, and I'm like, look, I just need to let it out so I can kind of like move on, you know? So I actually have a playlist, and it's called Don't Let Me Drown. So, of course, Bring Me the Horizon, their song Drown is on there. And it, you know, it holds a, like, I'll never forget the first time I heard that song. It was like 1 o'clock at night. I was manic and cleaning my apartment top to bottom. And that was the first time I heard that song. And, you know, I had not heard of Bring Me the Horizon. And I heard it on a local radio station and immediately looked them up. And then, of course, Can You Feel My Heart is on this list as well. And I'm going to try not to emo when I share this, but so I have the mermaid scale tattoos on my shoulder, and I felt a little judged when calling the tattoo shop to explain that I wanted mermaid scales, you know, and the artist that did my second set, and I could be wrong, but just, you know, they didn't post the work on their page, and it just, I don't know. And I felt the need to explain why I had the mermaid scales, because it's kind of cliche, you know, for girls to get girly stuff like mermaids and unicorns and stuff like that. But, you know, in the song, Can You Feel My Heart? He says, I can't drown my demons. They know how to swim. But then there's also a pretty powerful, it's a like a mental health awareness meme or poster, inspirational, whatever you want to call it. But it says, my demons tried to drown me, so I learned to breathe underwater. Okay. So that's why I got the mermaid scales. Because it took a long time, deep breath, took a long time for me to make peace with the demons and learn how to play nice and figure out that, you know, sometimes they want to be the little spoon instead of the big spoon. And, you know, we're slowly learning to coexist with each other. And so the mermaid scales, while kind of cliche, and I absolutely adore mermaids, but you know, that's kind of why I have them, is that reminder of learning to work through things like depression and anxiety. And, you know, music is a huge coping mechanism for so many people. So I know myself especially, I'm really feeling the lack of live music that we're suffering from right now. Like I'm beyond the withdrawal stage now.
I get it. I was just thinking about it the other day. It's been over a freaking year since I've seen a concert. And I'm just like, I averaged at least once a month, you know, before that. From like, shit, like 17 years old on, you know? So it's like the idea that it's been that long and we made it through, but like we never thought, that was the thing, is we were always so hopeful.
Right.
We always thought, okay, it might not happen here, but it will happen in a couple months. And this will probably happen in a couple months. We're just hoping and hoping and hoping. And then before you know it, you're hoping for like a year, you know? And it's like, really? That happened? Like 2020 is the year that music died. Although I will say one thing about 2020. I did a day on my group on Facebook, Rock the Decades, and it was all about 2020 music. And the artists may not have been able to tour, but man, were they able to put out some really great music. Like they were able to channel all of that energy into the studio. And we've have some beautiful music that came out of that year.
Yes.
I love that you mentioned that. And I think for 21 and 22 and 23, we are going to see some kick-ass tours and albums drop. And I think live music will come back stronger than ever. And I will gladly sign up for that post-festival depression. That is for sure.
Agreed, 100%.
I did go to the gym this morning. That's one thing that being in quarantine and just not being very active and, you know, being downstairs in the basement and just not interacting with a whole lot of people face to face and not getting enough sunlight has definitely taken a toll. And so I'm hoping that working out, get some of those feel goods going, get that music going as well, will help me get out of whatever this funk is that I have right now. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't know if I have post-birthday funk or what, but it's amazing. The week after I turned 40, like, I've just been wanting to do nothing but sleep. And I don't know if that's because I turned 40 or, like, what that's all about, but or maybe I had too much damn fun, because I definitely had some fun. Like, it was one for the books, for sure. One thing that I've really gotten into is singing karaoke, because live music's gone, but like I get up there and it's a performance, man. It's not
there
just,
you go.
It's dancing, it's everything, and people are into it. And I'm thinking, this is the closest thing we have to live music right now. Seriously, is going to
this is true.
Sing yeah. karaoke. So like having seen all the concerts I do, I try to make sure I put on a concert, even if they don't want me to. I feel like there are sunny pastures ahead, I guess is a way to put that. We won't be in this forever. We said that all last year, but for real, I feel this time that we won't be in this forever. I mean, I really didn't even think that Rage was going to get canceled in April. I remember my friend Chanel telling me about it. We were talking about this pandemic and she's like, your shit's going to get canceled, dude. And I'm like, no, it's not. I'm like, I'm still going to Rage. Like, no, you're not. That's really not happening. You know?
Well, I know I was holding out so, so hard and heavy for Louder Than Life. And I tell you, when they announced that it wasn't going to happen, I very much went to my emo playlist to kind of process. And, you know, I told my boss, I was like, look, I'm going to need a little bit to process this. I think one of the hardest things about depression is there are so many branches and there are so many symptoms involved, mm-hmm. especially if it's high functioning. You can hide it quite well, and it tends to be accompanied with anxiety. You're anxious for so long. And then the depression hits because you have wound yourself up so much and, you know, you've mentally set yourself up for failure. And then here comes the depression. And, you know, with all mental illnesses, it can be so challenging to treat it. And you go trial and error with medicines. And it's, it very much feels like hysteria and made up in your head, just because it can take 4 to 6 weeks for the medicine to do its job. And then sometimes, you know, when you start to feel better, then people quit taking it. And you're
fall
just,
right
you
back
are,
into that cycle again.
Yep. You are right back at square one. I know for me, after about, if I forget mine for about 4 days, I feel it. And it feels like PMS. I don't know how else to describe it, but I'm just really irritable and moody and just want to cry at the drop of the hat, and I crave chocolate, damn it. And that's how I know. And I'll think about it and I'll be like, wait a minute, did you take your medicine? Did you take your meds, Andy? You need to take your meds. Speaking of hysteria, there is one thing that I definitely wanted to make sure that I talked about. Well, actually, no. So I don't know if you guys were aware of this or not, but back in the day, and it's started in the 1800s, actually, they used to, medical professionals, and I use air quotations when I say professionals, in my opinion, but for women, they would treat them for female hysteria, and there was a big, huge line of symptoms that fall under the category of female hysteria, and several of them are symptoms of depression, but guess what they did to treat female hysteria?
I want to say I've heard this, but tell me. Like, I'm not sure.
So they would masturbate the women to give them an orgasm.
Wow.
Yep. They would use it for depression, anxiety. They would also use it for epileptic fits and irritability. Big long line. Migraines too. And that is actually how the vibrator was created, because they wanted a more efficient way to grant their patients a climax.
And no, that would probably work for men too.
And
they
apparently
have a
this
they don't have a vibrator, but yeah.
this was a thing, but they have actually done studies that sexual gratification, I'll say it that way, whether one-on-one or with a partner, would help with depression and other mood disorders.
Well, I can say that when you're getting laid, you're generally a much happier person. So that would make sense. I mean, really, there is, because it releases that dopamine. And so, like, you are, you know, it's actually euphoric. So yeah, that makes sense completely. However, that would really suck as a woman back in the 1800s to go to a doctor. You're feeling this way. And then all of a sudden he's like, well, lay down. Why don't we, masturbate you.
So now that makes me wonder if that's where the whole playing doctor fantasy came from.
Oh, Oh, nice segue. Now we're going to talk about playing doctor.
Well, we've talked about worse when we segued off of that subject.
Sorry. I tend to be inappropriate sometimes.
Sometimes? Just sometimes.
Yeah, pretty much only when I'm talking to you guys.
Yeah, I wanted to end the podcast on a titillating note, so to speak. But there are many ways to combat depression. Music is a proven method for helping. Exercising, talk therapy, aka counseling, medication, and as always, we are not the doctors. Don't just take our word for it, and definitely don't go to WebMD because they're gonna tell you you have cancer. If the doctor tries to masturbate you, you should probably get another doctor. But if you are exhibiting some of these symptoms, then, you know, definitely go talk to a professional that does not masturbate you. Everybody stay safe, and we will see you next time.